Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're talking about receiving the Holy Spirit, but before we get to the message, I want to just give you a brief update on what's going on here in Africa. We're in Kenya at the Living Water Orphanage site, and we've been able to now bring in about 20 children, and some are special needs. About three or four of them are special needs children, and the rest are going to be going to public school. And the school starts, because of the corona, the school start has been postponed about 2 months or a month and a half. And so now they have declared that there will be a resumption of school activities. And so we're getting the school children ready. They have their uniforms, they have their bags, they have their shoes. And so they're pretty excited. I went into the children's home the other day and all the girls had their uniforms on and they were dancing and they were so happy. They were just thrilled to be able to get a uniform and go back to school. And so school is going to be starting next Monday for the public school kids. And then the special needs children, we have a tutor at the children's home that will be taking care of their needs. Some of them can't really learn a whole lot, but they can do some crafts and they can learn maybe to count, just some very simple things. And so we're going to be starting on Monday with school activities. And so if you have a desire to help this ministry, if you have a desire to promote this ministry and support this ministry, there are a lot of expenses involved in sending the kids back to school. They have registration fees and they have uniform needs and shoes and backpacks and other clothing that they need. And then, of course, just the daily needs of food and shelter and medicine for the children. And so it all adds up to a pretty big burden to take care of these children. So if you have any desire to help, this would be a good time to help and help these children get back to school and back to learning what God has for them. We send the children to our own church every Sunday, and also on Wednesday evening they go up to practice. The children have a little dance troupe that they practice on Wednesday evening. And we're praying also about building a school near the children's home so that we can send these children to our own school. And so pray with us on that, that we could also have the money to buy some land and build a school so these children can go to school near the children's home, and we can also give them a Christian education or a Christian-centered education while they are going to school. So we thank you again for your support, and we'll take up this message. If you have any questions about support or things that you would like to see supported, email me pureprairie@hotmail.com and we'll discuss those things, and I'll answer any questions you have regarding our needs here in Africa. Well, the Holy Spirit was received several different times in the book of Acts. If you read through the first 20 chapters or so, several different times were recorded by Luke, the author of the book of Acts, and they nearly all, not all of them, but most of them involved the Apostle Paul, or Saul, as he was called, and then he became the Apostle Paul. And so it started in Acts chapter 2. We talked about this 3 weeks ago or so, the day of Pentecost. That's when the reception of the Holy Spirit was initiated. That's when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And so, beloved, this is very important, because from the Holy Spirit, we get the power to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. From the Holy Spirit, we get the wisdom as we go through life each and every day. We get the wisdom that we need when we encounter difficult situations, and when the devil comes against us and torments us or tries to trick us or deceive us, we have the wisdom and the counsel of the Holy Spirit to give us instruction, to give us direction, to help us to see through the deception of the enemy and to see through the trickery that the enemy throws against us to discourage us and get us off track. And so it is very important that you receive the Holy Spirit. It is very important that you know the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit abides in you and counsels you. And so that is the reason that I have been talking about the Holy Spirit. And that is the reason why you need it. You need power. A church without Holy Spirit-filled people is a powerless church. A person without the Holy Spirit who is a Christian without the Holy Spirit is a powerless person. He has no desire to witness, no desire to carry out that higher destiny, that higher call that God has on his life. And so it is very important. I can't stress this enough. It is very important that you receive the Holy Spirit, that you be open to everything that the Holy Spirit has for you, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we've not talked about much recently, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can read about those in 1 Corinthians 12. And so it is very important, I would say vital, that Christians receive the Holy Spirit and move forward with power to be a witness, move forward with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, move forward with the confidence in knowing that the devil is not going to get the upper hand on you, that his tricks and his deceit will not take advantage of you, and you will have the power to be a witness, and you will not fall prey to the schemes of the devil. Well, in Acts chapter 2, in verse 4, it tells that they were all filled, that is, these 120 people who were in the upper room at that time, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Well, what happened was the disciples and these 120 people began to speak the message, the gospel message, the good news of the gospel. They began to speak it in languages that they did not know, languages that they had never studied or learned. And all of these thousands, some people say hundreds of thousands of people gathered in Jerusalem on that day began to hear the gospel message in their own respective language. And so that is the first instance of the Holy Spirit being poured out. It was given to the Jews at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and this took place 50 days after Jesus was resurrected, after Jesus came up out of the grave. 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, then the Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind. Well, then the next instance we have of the Holy Spirit being poured out or being received was in Acts chapter 8, one of the instances where the Holy Spirit is recorded with the people of Samaria. And that fulfilled the prophecy that Jesus said back in Acts 1:8, you will receive power and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. So when the Samaritans received the Holy Spirit, that was a fulfillment of prophecy spoken by Jesus. And so we take this up in Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Acts chapter 8, verse 14, it says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he, the Holy Spirit, had not fallen on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so these people in Samaria had received the word, they'd heard the word, they received the word, and then they were water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but they had not received as of yet the Holy Spirit. Well, you say, how does that happen? Because I thought when everybody is water baptized, they automatically receive the Holy Spirit. No, that is not the way it happens. People that receive the Holy Spirit, that is a separate baptism. That is a baptism of fire. That is an invisible baptism. You can't see it. It's not like the water baptism. The water baptism is for the remission of sins, and the Holy Spirit baptism is a full immersion in the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and you can't see it. Sometimes it happens at water baptism, sometimes it happens before, sometimes it happens afterwards. And so in this case, they had not received the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit had not fallen upon any of them. And so they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 17, it says, the apostles laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Well, that is a wonderful occasion. That is a doctrinal bedrock occasion that they also received the Holy Spirit. You don't necessarily have to have some apostle or somebody of a higher calling or somebody who already has the Holy Spirit. You don't necessarily have to have them lay hands on you. That is not a doctrinal position. But in this case, they did lay hands on them and prayed for them, and they immediately received the Holy Spirit. That was God's will, and that was the plan of God. It happened that way, and so you can receive the Holy Spirit by yourself. You don't have to have somebody lay hands on you. You don't have to be in a group of people. You can just be by yourself worshiping God or praying, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you or fall upon you, as it is spoken here in verse 16. And so here in verse 18, it takes up a little more narrative about the story. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. This man Simon was a sorcerer or practiced witchcraft. And so he saw that these people received the Holy Spirit when they laid hands on them. And he said, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, verse 20, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. And then in verse 24, Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. And so Simon repented. He repented of thinking that he could purchase the power of God or purchase the gift of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He thought he could purchase it with money and then go around and be some kind of a even more powerful sorcerer by laying hands on people. And beloved, you cannot purchase anything in the kingdom of God. Your money will be of no value to you. You may have a lot of money, or you may have very little money. All of the people that stand before God are on an equal platform. And so your money cannot help you purchase the power of God. Well, the next instance we read about in the book of Acts is in Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius and his family received the Holy Spirit, and that is in Acts chapter 10. We talked about this last week in our message last week, and Cornelius was the first Gentile to receive the Holy Spirit, he and his family, and we take that up in Acts chapter 10 in verse 43. And to God, this is Peter preaching. Peter has been led to preach to the family of Cornelius by a God-led circumstance, God-led series of events, where Peter was given a trance, and then Peter was sent to the house of Cornelius. In verse 43, it says, to God all the prophets witness that through his name, through Jesus' name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. To whoever believes in Jesus will receive the remission of sins. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed, that is those of the Jewish group who was with Peter, those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they stayed on a few days to teach them and to preach to them. So in this instance, the Holy Spirit came upon the family of Cornelius, and they started to speak in tongues. And that is how the Jewish, those of the circumcision, that is how those Jewish people who were with Peter realized that the Holy Spirit had been poured out on them just as it had been on the Jewish people in Acts chapter 2. And so then they took them to the water and they baptized them. And so that was the glorious foundation outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Gentiles. And beloved, if you're a Gentile, which I am, and we are Gentiles, we can thank Cornelius for his faithfulness. We can thank Cornelius for his desire and his coming before the Lord. And the Lord blessed him in this way by pouring out the Holy Spirit upon him and his whole family. Well, the next instance that I want to bring up here is in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, you can turn over there. And we can look at verse 24, and we're going to be talking about a certain Jew named Apollos. And this certain Jew was born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. Verse 25, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he had never been taught about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He'd never been taught about any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All he knew, he'd probably been to Jerusalem at some time and been at one of the feasts, and he knew about the baptism of John. He may even have been baptized by John. We don't know that for sure, but it says that's all he knew about was the baptism for the remission of sins. And so in verse 26, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, that is to preach. And when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. In other words, they took him aside and they taught him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They taught him about coming to a place where he could receive the Holy Spirit. And beloved, that is the situation with many people today. They know about the baptism, the water baptism. They don't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and therefore they lack the fire. They lack the power that comes. They lack the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so it is important that we understand that if God opens up a door for you through knowledge, through wisdom, through revelation, through outpouring, he opens up a revelation for you to understand about the Holy Spirit, then seek it and seek it with all your heart, and the Lord will pour it out upon you. Then the next situation in Acts chapter 19, we see here another situation. While Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, and now we're talking about the Apostle Paul, Having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And so they said to them, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And so these people are in the same situation as Apollos. These people are in the same situation. They had been baptized into John's baptism. At some point in time, they have been, may have been to Jerusalem. At some point in time, somebody baptized them. And so they had received the baptism for the remission of sins. And so the Apostle Paul asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "We don't even know there is such a thing. We don't even know about the Holy Spirit. We have no knowledge of it." And then Paul said in verse 3, "And he said to them, 'Into then what were you baptized?' And so they said, 'We were baptized into John's baptism,'" the baptism of water. And verse 4, "Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.' And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. And now the men were about 12 in all." So this situation is very similar to Apollos in the previous chapter. They had received John's baptism. They knew about that, and they were saved. They were saved because they had made a confession of faith. And when you receive John's baptism, your sins are washed away. Your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus, and your baptism represents your death, burial, and resurrection with Jesus Christ. And the water represents the washing away of your sins, and you come up out of that water a new creation. You come up out of that water filled with the knowledge that you have been cleansed, that you stand before God with a clean conscience. Your sins have been cleansed, but you necessarily do not have the baptism of fire, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that is a separate baptism, and it comes in a separate way, and it may come at the time of water baptism, but it can come before, and it can come after. And when you receive that baptism, beloved, you will know you have power to be a witness. You will know you have power to go out into the world and to take on the schemes of the devil and to take on all of the plans that the devil has to throw you aside and to discourage you. And beloved, that's what we need as Christians. And so Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. And so that is God's plan for you, that you receive the baptism of fire. That is God's plan for you if you've never confessed Jesus, that you repent and be baptized. That is God's plan. And then his further plan for you is that you have power and you go out and witness for the kingdom of God. And you go out and you make your mark, witness for the kingdom of God with power and with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that is the plan of God, the perfect plan of God for your life. Well, if you've never confessed Jesus, do that today. He is for you. He is not against you. He died for you. He loves you. He cares about you. Make that confession today. Let me know if you make that decision. My email is at pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we will get you some literature to help you on your Christian walk. Thank you for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down, write us out a letter, let us know you're listening. Include a check of support, and we will be thankful. The Lord will be thankful, and you will be blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.